the assembly of Srila Das Goswami and attentively hear and try to follow. He's telling, Sri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhakta, Das Raghunath, Ekhai Guru Shikha Guru Jyana. He's praying first to his Shikha Guru. Why you can think about it? Also he has not named his Gurudev. He has told about Guru so many things. Shikha Guru has taken the name of Shikha Guru. Who? Srila Rupa Goswami first, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Shikha Guru. He has taken directly Shikha from them. And especially to both whom? Rup and Raghunath. Because they will write in the last of each chapter. Why he could not name his Gurudev? Was any Gurudev Dikha Guru or not? I think it is impossible that he has no Dikha Guru. He has Dikha Guru. Some doubt that Srila Raghunath Bhatta was his Gurudev. But I have not seen any evidence in anywhere so authentic. If his Guru was what harm to tell? Nothing. I think it may be wrong or right, I cannot say. Because anywhere it has not written. I have to come to on conclusion that he and his brother in his life, in his grihastha, has been initiated by any guru. No? That is, his name has been kept Krishnadas. Without any diksha, anyone cannot keep name like this, Krishnadas. But as a professional, he was Kaviraj. Kaviraj, Ayurvedic
doctor.
Very good. He used to know pulse. And also the pulse of the devotees for bad disease also. But so much good doctor. So there he has been initiated, but he left his brothers and everyone. And it seems that he has taken something side of his elder brother, perhaps. It may be not. And that is why he has not taken the name. Or there may be some or other. But I think if he has met Shikha Guru like Rup Sanatan Jiva Raghunath Sikh, the realized soul, also associates of Krishna and also of Chaitanya, like Rup Manjari, Sanatana Goswami, Lavanga Manjari, Bhatta Raghunath Gun Manjari, Jiva Goswami Vilas Manjari, Gopal Bhatta Gun Manjari, Raghunath Das Rati, and in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastime, Sri Rup Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Gopal Bhatta. There are two forms. No doubt they were Eternal. If anyone is direct Sikha Guru like this, why he will not be? So, one of his disciples. So, he is proud of that, that Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all are like this. Prasabara Charne Mori Koti Namaskar. Innumerable vendor pranam in their lotus feet. And then he is praying to Bhakta, like Sivas Pandit. Bhagavan is Bhakta Jato Sivasadi Pradhan. Sivas is Nara. These are Bhakta. Bhakta are two kinds, realized Bhakta and Sadhak. Narada in his first life he was Sadhak Bhakta, and after that he became realized Bhakta, praying Bhakta. Here also he takes Sarupa Damodar, Raya Ramanu, all the Bhakta, Sikhi Maiti, Madhuri Devi, Sadhum Bhattacharya, all he takes. Prominent Sikha Guru, 60, and all taking life Bhakta, because they have really some direct connection with Sikhs. Advaitacharya, Prabhu Ansavatar, Ansavatar means?
Partly incarnation.
Incarnation of Krishna, Mahavishnu. Nityananda, Sarup Prakash, Vaibhav Prakash. Madhadhar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, all are Shakti. Why Gadadhar Pandit was so generous, having no Bhamya Bhav, you know?
Leptic mood.
Always insubordinate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not in angry mood, or that is man, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Jagadananda has like this. Because Gadadhar Pandit was herself Radhika. And he was always watching and looking after, guarding Krishna, whether he is playing a good role of my part or not. Uh-huh. Like a teacher.
From sir.
So, he is like that, Gadadhar Pandit. Always was. If he, Krishna, tells anything, then he at once makes Sudhar.
Reform.
Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Nityananda Prabhu in the house of Nandana Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking and telling this slok. Varaha Pidam Natavara Bahu Karana Yoga Karanicharam Vipratabhasa Kanak Kapisam Vaijayanti Jamala Pitiful Soup of Krishna. But he could not play the role of Radhika. Something like, so behind parda, curtain. He played a marvelous role of Srimati Radhika, Gadadhar Pandit. Weeping loudly, tears coming, melting everyone. And he uttered this slok in so manner that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was playing the part of Radhika, became careful and he followed him. And he thought that, oh, I've done here mistake. So Gadadhar Pandit is himself Srimati Radhika. Here playing a role of like a teacher here to teach Krishna his more, because Krishna has taken his more. Jagadananda, like Satyabhama, you know all, he is also Shakti. He is praying to all Gadadhar Pandit. कृष्णदास कविराज। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु स्वयं भगवान, हे स्वयं भगवान हिमसेल्फ कृष्ण, ब्रजेंद्र नंदन श्याम सुंदर, तहा पदार बिंदे अनंत प्रणाम, सावरणे प्रभु करिया नमस्कार, ए छय जैसे करिया विचार। आई टोल कृष्णदास कविजाई करेंगे, आई टोल briefly these six kinds of Krishna, Krishna himself, like six manifestations, himself Krishna. Yadyapi amar guru Chaitanya Mera Das, my guru,
servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
Chaitanya, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I know that he is himself Krishna. Sakshat Haripena Samastha Sat. What is the meaning of Haripena? Can you define? Explain?
Guru is Bhagavan.
No.
Sakshat Hari.
He has not told Sakshat Hari. Haripena. There is some deep meaning. He possesses the quality of Krishna, but not Krishna. So he is Das Bhagavan. Krishna Das Bhagavan. He has some qualities of Krishna, so merciful. He is the wholesome mercy of Krishna, Gurudev. So this is the quality of Krishna. So he possesses all this, but not his Vishaya Krishna. If anyone thinks that Gurudev is also Krishna, like Vishaya Krishna, he is not right. So we should know that he has the quality of Hari. That is Hari Prena Sakshalit. Even karmis, jnani tapasvi, they also think that Gurudev like Krishna. So we must know this. But we should not do our own. Arop means?
Superimposition.
Impose.
Superimpose an idea that's not
really yes.
True.
This is mango tree. It will give fruit, mango fruit, and it will be bear fruit. This is arop, not real. If you are seeing any mango tree, and then I am telling that, oh, this is mango, and it will give fruit in time, then it is true.
Real.
But if we suppose unreal to be real, the fruit will be what?
Unreal.
Not good. So we should know. We should not do arrow. But in the beginning we'll have to arrow. No way, other way. So that is called arrow siddhavasti. But we should arop in Krishna to be Krishna. Like Krishna, deities are Krishna. We are now doing like this, but actually deity is himself Krishna. Understand? Deity is himself Krishna. But we are saying like a stone, like a statue. We cannot serve it like Krishna. But when our degree of affection will go up and we realize, then we see like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sakshat Brijendanam. Vigranatumi.
Sakshat Brijendanam.
Then it will be. Then it is, this will be real. Guru Krishna Rupam Shastra Pramani. Guru Rupe Krishna Karen, Kripa Karen, Bhakta Gane. Sikshya Guru Kadayani Yami Krishna Rasparu. I will explain it tomorrow. And after that I will take third and fourth. Very important all these things. He will explain who is Guru, who is Shikshya Guru, who is Diksha Guru, what are our duties, how to serve him. So next day we will explain all these things. Gaur Pramana.
Prabhupada has translated this verse. Nityanandarai Prabhu Swarup Prakara Parapara Padma Vando Yaha Muidas. It says, Srila Nityananda Ram is the plenary manifestation of the Lord, and I have been initiated by him. Nityananda Rai Swarup Prakash Ahara Para Padma Vando Yaha Muidas.
Yaha Muidas,
this one's not really happy. So the Prabhupada is initiated, and I have been initiated by him.
But he has not clearly written. We are all disciples of Nityananda. Do you know her? Actually, he has not taken. He can take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, Nityananda Prabhu also, like Rupa Goswami Sanatana. He may also consider. I will pray first that my Guru there should be nearer to me first, and then one Guru, and then perhaps one Guru.
Send me sufficiently. She has taken me off her lap and put me on the ground, and she's neglecting me. So in order to show her, to punish her, he immediately goes and takes one stone, and he breaks the butter pot, and he starts stealing all the butter. And not only does he steal the butter, he starts feeding it to the monkeys. And the monkeys are so happy because Krishna is feeding them so much butter. But all the time it describes with his eyes, he's looking like this, looking like this, looking around. Why is he looking around like that? Because he's very much afraid. Because he knows that when his mother comes, he's going to get punished for doing this. So first of all, Sanatana Goswami describes how astonishing it is that the Supreme Lord, when Mother Yasoda ties him around his waist, within his abdomen is everything in creation. So how can somebody tie the Supreme Lord around his waist? How can he be afraid of somebody looking this way, looking that way? And now she's chased him, and she follows him, and she sneaks up behind him and watches him and sees him looking this way and looking that way and feeding so much butter to the monkeys, and they're all full. They can't eat anymore. Now what's he going to do? Causing so much mischief. So then she decides to catch him. So very, very slowly, she starts coming up behind him with a stick. And when he sees her, he runs, and she runs. And he's running, and she's running. And how can she catch him? He's the Lord of everything. We read the story in the Krishna book of Kaliyavana and Muchukunda, when Krishna ran away from the battlefield, and Muchukunda chased him. But it was impossible for him to catch Krishna. He had no such qualification. He had no bhakti like Mother Yasoda had. He did not have the intensity of love that saturated her whole being. He saw Krishna as his enemy, and he was chasing after him, and Krishna led him into a cave, hid behind Kaliyavana, who was sleeping in the cave. When Muchukunda kicked him, he woke up and burnt him to ashes with his eyes. So this is one kind of dealing when you chase Krishna. But Mother Yasoda was not like that. She chased him and chased him, and when she finally caught him, then this comes, Karamboja Yugmena Netra Yugmam Mijantam. He was rubbing his eyes again and again with both his lotus-like hands at the same time. And Sanatana Goswami gives us some reasons why he may have been doing that. One of the reasons was that he's thinking that now I'm going to get punished. She's going to be so angry with me, my mother. So if she sees that I'm already afraid, then she won't punish me as strictly and severely. So he's rubbing his eyes trying to make tears come. So it says here that seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand and apprehending being struck with it, he behaves as if terrified, so that she would see his distress and think, he is afraid of being punished, and she won't punish him. So he's thinking like this, she won't hit me if I rub my eyes like this and look like I'm crying. Or perhaps, Sanatana Goswami goes on to say, perhaps this is also a normal habit of Krishna's Bala Leela. Perhaps he's rubbing his eyes because tears have formed in his eyes, because he's so much afraid, Mother Yasoda, now she'll beat me. So tears are in his eyes and he's trying to get them to run down his face, because if these tears run down his cheeks and Mother Yasoda sees his face with these tears and the kajal in his eyes, around his eyes, the black eyeliner all smeared all over his face as he rubs his eyes, all smudged and these tears falling down his cheeks, she again will take pity and think, oh, I shouldn't be so harsh to my son. Or perhaps he's rubbing his eyes in order to wipe away the tears that were actually falling again and again and again. So these are given some different visions of Sanatana Goswami. He's describing this pastime for our benefit, to help us to enter into the mood of this Damodar Leela. So he says that his eyes express... We need some help over here. See, he'll start rubbing his eyes in a moment. See, he heard. He decided this was a good idea. So his eyes expressed how much he was terrified in his mind. Or else it refers to his glancing this way and that in extreme fear. In this regard also, he tries to avoid being punished. And thus another confidential pastime is disclosed. So this is some wonderful little glimpses of what are Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Mother Yasoda wants to bind him up, to chastise him, to teach him a lesson. So she goes into the house and comes with some rope and ties it around his waist. But when she brings it around his waist, she gets it to a point where it's 2 inches too short. So she thinks, all right, so I should get some more rope and I'll tie it together and then it will be easy, easy task. So she returns to the house and comes with more rope, ties them together and again places them around her son's belly, and again they become 2 inches too short. So this is a little astonishing, and she's a little astonished. And then she goes and gets another rope, feeling quite confident that she can perform this simple task of chastising her son. But again and again and again, the rope, immediately as she brings it together, it won't tie. And this becomes such a source of amusement that all the ladies from the village come to watch this, and they start laughing, thinking how humorous this is. Look at her. She's trying to tie up her son, and she can't even tie him up. And Mother Yasoda is so determined. She brings so many ropes. She has hundreds and hundreds of meters of rope, and she places them around his belly, and each time, and every time, 2 inches, not 3 inches, not 5 inches, not 1 inch, exactly the same amount. So as she tries and tries and tries, she becomes more and more puzzled. And it describes in the Bhagavatam how the flower garlands that she wears in her hair, around the braid in her hair, because the ladies in Braj, they like to decorate the braid of their hair in the top of their head with very fragrant smelling white flowers. So these flowers fall down, and her hair becomes all disarrayed, her braid becomes all loose, and her cloth also becomes all untidy from making so much effort to try to bind her son. And then when Krishna sees, he sees the intensity of the devotion of his mother, then he agrees to be bound. So Sanatana Goswami gives us a little insight into this also. Says, in stating that the knots were tied on the rope both to his belly and to the mortar, in other words, he was tied both to the grinding mortar because she wants to teach him a lesson, she also tied him around his waist. So this describes the excellence of Krishna's quality of Bhakta Vatsala. Does anyone know what this means, Bhakta Vatsala? Friend of the devotees. It's even more intense than that. It's described here, or his quality of coming under the control of his devotees. So friend means, friend is like this, but coming under the control means subordinating himself to the love of his devotees. This is the inconceivable quality that we see in Vrindavan more than in any other place. We see the intensity of the love of the residents of Vrindavan who are absorbed simply in pleasing Krishna by all their activities. And we see there how Krishna loves them so much that he comes under their control. So it refers this this quality of bhaktya, bhaktiva badham, these are the last two words of that verse, refers to he who responds only to bhakti in the following two ways. So Krishna only responds to our love. All the philosophy, all the work, all the practical sadhana activities, all the practical devotional activities that we perform throughout the day, all of the things that we do, they're all meant to bring us to the point of loving Krishna and nothing else. And if they bring us to that point, then our life is a huge success. And if they don't bring us to that point, then we have further work to do before we make our life actually successful. It says that he responds only to bhakti in the following two ways. From his mother's viewpoint, he is bound by the loving paternal devotion that she feels for her son. He's bound by her love. He's not bound by the rope. He's bound by her love. She had so many ropes that she could not bind him. But when he perceives her concern had come to such a peak, then he let her bind him with the rope. And he's bound by her love, and from his viewpoint, he is bound by his mother's devotion in the form of bhakta vasyata badham. He willingly accepted the binding, although no rope had the power to bind him. So from her side, she's offering her love. She wants to bind him. She wants to do some service for him. In the intensity of her love, she thinks, by the power and influence of Yoga Maya, that if she doesn't discipline and train him, then he won't become a good boy when he grows up. She should teach him. He's not good to do these things. So she's thinking like that, and he from the other side is thinking he wants to respond to her love. So there are two things described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that are required for our bhakti, our devotion, to become up to this point of loving Krishna. The first one is our endeavor. Mother Yasoda was working so hard. This is one of the 2 inches that were too short. And the second one is Krishna's willingness, his willingness to be bound by our endeavor. If he's unwilling, then no matter what we do, no matter how much effort we make, he will not fall under our control. He will not allow himself to be placed in such a position. So if we want to come to the point of loving Krishna, then we have to understand these 2 things, that our devotion has to be there and our endeavor has to be there. And on the other side, we have to pray and pray and pray for the mercy of Krishna, that he will please accept our endeavors and please give us love for him. So then, the conclusion given in the Dhammadharastikam is that there were 2 reasons why this pastime was performed. One was to please Mother Yasoda because of her love. And the other reason was because Narada Muni had made this arrangement with Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva. So therefore Krishna wanted to fulfill 2 purposes at the same time. One was to please Yasoda, who was his internal devotee, his very dear devotee, and the other was to fulfill the vow of Narada to benedict and bless these 2 fallen souls, Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, with his presence, his darshan. So therefore, what did he do? He arranged for Mother Yasoda to bind him. He arranged for her to tie the rope to the grinding mortar. And then when she went inside to go on with her household activities, leaving him there for some short time, he started to crawl, pulling this very heavy grinding mortar. We can imagine, described as a wooden mortar, but in India they have very heavy grinding mortars made out of stone, and they're impossible to be able to pull them, what to speak of a small baby. But he was pulling this grinding mortar behind him by the rope and crawling on his hands and knees, very gently, in a very innocent childlike way. He crawled between these two trees. But he's also the all-powerful personality of Godhead. Yasoda Mayi cannot understand that. But we can understand by hearing this pastime. So as he crawled between the two trees, the mortar stuck between the two trees, he continued crawling, and the force of the mortar against the trees caused them both to crash to the ground with a mighty sound. And only present at that time were some small children. And they saw this thing take place, and they thought this was the most extraordinary event. And when this terrible sound, you can just imagine it, two trees crashed to the ground out here, huge trees, and you were inside and you hear this, you would immediately run out to see if anyone's all right, if any children were nearby, if anybody was hurt. And if you came outside and you saw one small baby was just sitting there beside the tree, and these huge trees were lying there, you would ask, what happened? And if some of the other children said, Keshava was playing and he went over and he pushed the tree and the tree fell down. And after he pushed the two trees and they fell down, then these two extraordinary personalities came out of the trees and they were shining and had big, big helmets on and they said so many things and they bowed down to Keshava and they went away. What would you think? You would think this is some childish story only. And you'd say, yes. Then you'd ask one of the adults, what happened? You know, and they would say, I don't know. I just heard this terrible crashing sound. But the boys knew. They knew what happened. They had witnessed what took place. But Nanda Maharaj, he couldn't imagine that this was what actually took place. And I was thinking when we were chanting this morning that it's interesting that this Damodar Leela, the deities of Sri Sri Radha Damodar, are the deities that were taken care of. Radha Damodar, the Damodar deity, very small deity, was made by Sri Rupa Goswami. He resides now in Jayapur, in a small, very simple mandir, where he receives very simple worship, just near to the Radha Govindaji Mandir, which is the main temple in Jayapur. So that deity was placed in the care of Sri Jiva Goswami, Vaisala Rupa Goswami himself. So Sri Jiva Goswami was worshipping the Damodar deity. And it is he who gives some wonderful insight into the extension of this pastime that is not given in the Bhagavatam itself. The Bhagavatam, Nanda Maharaj is thinking, when Nanda Maharaj saw his own son bound with ropes to the wooden mortar and dragging it, he smiled and released Krishna from his bond. So when he saw Krishna tied like that, seeing his son, he was happy to see him. But he was also quite shocked. How could he have been tied up like this? And such a dangerous thing had taken place. And this was a very serious thing. So in the purport it says that Nanda Maharaj was surprised that Yasoda, Krishna's mother, could have bound her beloved child in such a way. He was astonished by this, actually. Krishna was exchanging love with her. How then could she have been so cruel as to bind him to the wooden mortar? Nanda Maharaj understood this as an exchange of love, and therefore he smiled and released Krishna. So Srila Jiva Goswami, in his book Gopal Champu, Sri Gopal Champu, one of the wonderful books that he has written, that gives us some insight into these pastimes, gives us some, you could say, like behind-the-scenes information. Sri Jiva Goswami describes that when Nanda Maharaj released Krishna from the binding of the rope, he was actually deeply angry with Yasoda Mayi for doing this. He couldn't believe that she could bind his son like that and place him in such a precarious position where he could have been killed by the falling of these trees. So it describes there that his anger was so intense. It is said sometimes that when somebody is angry at somebody, they may give some chastisement. And if they're very angry, then they may give some very, very strong chastisement to somebody. But in the final and last stage of anger, the most intense stage of anger, and we had, myself and I personally, but we hear of Srila Prabhupada exhibiting this form of anger also. The last point of anger, you don't say anything. There's nothing to say. So Nanda Maharaj had reached that point. He didn't say anything. He picked up Krishna and he didn't say anything. And Yasoda Mayi was standing there, and Krishna was picked up by his father and taken inside the house, and Nanda didn't say anything. And then Yasoda Mayi felt so much anxiety. And she went inside, and Nanda took Krishna into a room, and he took care of him very carefully and sat him down and fed him and calmed him and did so many things, great concern to make sure his son was all right. And when Yasoda Mayi came in the room to see Krishna, Krishna didn't want to see her. He said, "I don't want to see her, I don't want to see her, I don't want to see her." And Mother Yasoda's heart broke, seeing that this was the action of her son. No. Like this. And then Mother Yasoda went to her room and cried and cried and cried and cried. We cannot imagine how much she cried. And Miss Rohini Devi came. And Rohini Devi went to Krishna and said, "You have to come and see your mother." And he said, No, I don't want to see my mother. I don't want to see my mother. And Nanda Maharaj wouldn't speak to her. And she cried and she started fasting. And she gave up eating. She gave up everything. She was simply absorbed in thoughts of her son. And he wouldn't go and see her. And she couldn't imagine. Can you imagine? We hear the glories of Mother Yasoda, her love for Krishna, how she can bind him up. Then how she would feel if he wouldn't. He was afraid of her. He didn't want to go near her. And it made her cry and cry and cry so much that finally it was as if she was going to lose her life. Her sentiments of Vatsalya Rasa, by Krishna's way of lovingly dealing with her, rose to such a point, such a peak. Her love for him was intensified by his feelings that he responded to this occasion, that she was practically ready to give up her life. And when Rohini Devi finally went to Krishna and said, "If you don't go and speak to your mother, she'll die. She will die." Then Krishna, his eyes became full of tears, and he said, "Where is my mother?" And he immediately left the shelter of Nanda Maharaj and ran to his mother. And in this way, he increased her love for him so much. Her love, of course, was perfect. There was no question in her chastisement of him of any diminishing of her love. She was simply always only interested in his well-being. But to intensify that love, by the influence of Yoga Maya, these beautiful pastimes take place in Vrindavan. So we read of these things, and by reading of them, we have an opportunity to hear something that we could not otherwise enter into. We can hear about the material world and all the problems, and we can relate to that. Yes, this is like this, that's like that. Look at all the people doing all these sinful things. Yes, things should be set up properly. Vanashram should be there. So many things we can think. But we cannot enter these things without the mercy, the special mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas, and the special mercy of Sri Krishna himself. Otherwise, we will never hear these things. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that we should work very hard, but at the same time as working very hard, if we don't hear these pastimes, if we don't think about Krishna, then our service will be incomplete. And even though he will be very much satisfied with all of our endeavors and we will make steady progress by that, we won't become fully satisfied in heart unless we simultaneously hear about Krishna. Just as we were speaking last night, two things: to tolerate, to proceed on in life with tolerance, and to hear. These two things must be there. So the Prabhupada is urging us in both these ways. So then, the conclusion of this pastime says, to pure devotees throughout the world, who could understand his activities, so throughout the world, So this means not only for Mother Yasoda's benefit does he perform these wonderful pastimes, but for our benefit also. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brajavasis by his childhood activities. So Srila Prabhupada goes on to conclude in the purport that Krishna performed childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees is another kind of transcendental mela. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, but also to others who are captivated by his external potency and his opulences. Both the internal devotees, who were simply absorbed in love of Krishna, and the external devotees, who are captivated by his unlimited opulences, were informed of Krishna's desire to become submissive to his servants. So this is the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Yes. Rasa-bhasa. Rasa-abhas is made of two words. It's described in the Nectar of Devotion. There's two meanings of rasa-bhasa given. At the very end, it's under the heading of mixing of rasas. And there it describes how sometimes two rasas may be mixed together and they may create a palatable experience. Even though they're opposite rasas, when they're combined together, Krishna likes that. But it also describes in this Chaitanya Chaitamrita how Swarup Damodar Goswami, he used to scrutinize anything that was brought to be read to Lord Chaitanya for his pleasure to see if it was guilty of the fault of rasa-bhasa. So the fault in that stage means if you overlap two incompatible moods. So I don't know if I can find offhand an example of incompatible moods. But I can give you an example of one where it is not incompatible, but they are mixed. There's the example of paternal love and compassion and devotional service. Paternal love and laughter, these are mixtures. There are 12 primary, 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. So when the two are mixed together, it becomes under the heading of rasa-bhasa, or mixing of rasas. Very often, in addition to one's regular sentiment, there is found presence of other loving humours, sometimes compatible or palatable, and sometimes incompatible or unpalatable. The following is a scientific analysis of the compatibility and incompatibility of the mixtures of these various rasas or loving moods. So I'd have to look it up to give you right off on the spot the correct quote. The above analysis is a sample of the study of rasa-abhasa, or incompatible mixing of rasas. The ecstasy of parental affection mixed with laughter, compassion, or dread is compatible. With the ecstasy of parental love, the mixture of conjugal love, chivalry, or anger is incompatible. So if somebody is describing some story, telling some pastime of Krishna, but he mixes up these rasas, then it becomes an incompatibility arises. So there's a great science behind actually understanding and presenting the mood of Krishna properly. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, analyzes that. The complete science of Bhakti Yoga. That is what it means. So the last chapter, interestingly enough, is on rasa-bhasa, the very final chapter. After one's read everything else, then he can find out how you should not mix these up. So I could talk to you about it further a little bit. I don't have very much knowledge, but what is here I could present to you after if you want. Any other questions? Any other points? Yes.
In the beginning of the and then Mother Yasoda was going to go to Krishna on his lap. And then thinking of future service is going to move forward, and that's just going to use the like a plate, put him down and went off to do something else. In fact, essentially out in my situation a lot, but doing my service and different service and thinking of other services you're going to be coming up and you can do this and you can do that and plan this and work on that and something else.
What do you want to know about that?
Well, can we calm down for the civil one service, or can we be back to this?
Are you capable? We can ask that first. Are you capable of concentrating on one service?
No.
Mother Yasoda was involved in concentrating on one service.
No.
He was only doing one service. She was only simply administering to Krishna's pleasure. And she was willing to do anything that would bring Krishna pleasure. So there was a series of activities taking place, but she had a complete fixedness of mind on one point. So when you also have a complete fixed mind on one point, then the variety of things that you're doing won't create any kind of confusion or any kind of disturbance. So the question is how to get that complete fixedness of mind. Because if you say, okay, we should slow down on the activities, we should not do as many things, but you take away half the things you're doing, and what will you do with that amount of time? So why are you given an unlimited number of things to do?